everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Nick Stepanovic, the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. I forgot how to say my name there for a second. I'm like, Pastor Nick, I'm Nick Stepanovic, I'm Nicholas Joseph, but I'm Pastor Nick. I'm excited you're here this morning. I was excited to talk about my second job this morning. Does anybody know what my second job is this morning? I am. I'm a master of ceremonies, but I'm a walking billboard. I'm the biggest walking billboard there is. Look at this. We have new merch this morning on the lobby. You get a new hoodie on the 29-degree morning here in Pittsburgh, but I'm not excited about that, really. I'm excited about the fact that we get to be together worshiping God, praising His name. There's no place I'd rather be than one of our four locations because this is kingdom stuff. We get to be together. We get to do this. We get the opportunity to be gathered together in one place worshiping God. And this is my highlight of my week, every single week. And today we're wrapping up our series entitled True Riches. And, you know, we often think when we see this that it's about money. We hear riches, we think about money. We see the image behind us and it's about money. But there's a reason, I believe, that we're burning this. Because we're trying to break the mindset of money ruling us. We're trying to break it because we're focused on money. We think about money every single day. And today we're going to talk about what I believe should be a cuss word within the kingdom of God. I'm going to swear in church today. Woo! Ready? Worry. Oh. Somebody snorted. Listen, I'm standing before you as somebody who used to worry every single day. I am a recovering worrier. I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering worrier. And this week used to be one of the biggest weeks of worry in my life. It's a week with a holiday. Worrying about Thanksgiving, the hustle and bustle of a holiday. What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? What's going to show? How are we going to have the money to do it? How are we going to possibly provide all this stuff? Is family going to show up? I don't have a family. It's going to be so depressing. Worry, 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 worry. How many worriers do we have in the room? I believe there's way more. You just didn't want to raise your hand. Let's be honest in church. Tell the truth, shame the devil. But today we're going to talk about another W word that is not a cuss word. You ready? Worthless. And we're going to put those two together. Worry is worthless. It's pointless. And that's just not Pastor Nick saying that. We're going to unpack that within the Word of God. We're going to talk about it within the Word of God. You cool with that? All right, Father God, have your way today. Lord, speak to us. Open our ears, open our hearts. Allow us not to just be hearers of your Word, but doers of your Word. In Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's kick off the end of our series, True Riches, with the verse that we've been launching out of every single week, Luke 16:11. You ready? All righty. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? We hear wealth and we hear money. We hear wealth and we hear money. We think about cash, we think about our bank account, we think about our 401k, we think about our 403b, we think about our Roth IRA, we think about the retirement we don't have or that we do have. We think about the job that we want or the job that we don't have. We think about our education. We think about all of these things except what true riches really are. True riches actually have nothing to do with money. That's why we were burning it on the screen, because it has nothing to do with cash money. I just thought about cash money millionaires, and I had to pause for a second for the 99 and the 2000. Anyways, here we go. True riches: to have Jesus' presence, peace, power, provision, protection, resulting in the fullness of joy. I want everything he has for us. I want us to experience it. I want us to walk in it. I want us to wake up when our feet hit the ground. We're walking in the fullness of God. And that has nothing to do with what's in your pocket, in your bank account, or in your retirement fund. But we think that wealth has everything to do with that. Let me give you an example. You go on a missions trip. You go to Liberia. You go to Honduras. You go to Guatemala. You go to these places. A lot of these people have nothing, but they have joy. How? They're walking in the true riches of heaven. They're walking in an abundance of what God has because of their perspective and who they believe God is and who they believe they are. So we have to remember that every single person, every single follower of Jesus can walk in true riches when we walk out these three R's. You ready for the three R's? Everybody say R. That was fun. That was fun. Those were, you are successful pirates. Something that Pittsburgh don't have. That was good. That was quick. Witty. Every follower of Jesus can obtain true riches when we reject fear. I'm also a person that is recovering from fear. I'm in recovery. Remember, we're all in a sanctification process. We're becoming more like Jesus every day. I was afraid of failure. So being afraid of failure caused me not to try, which ultimately caused me to fail. But I was in control of it. I didn't understand that I was doing that, but fear kept me stuck. When you start to reject fear, you start to move forward. Here we go, the second R. Let's do it again. R. We're going to raise the Jolly Roger by the end of this. We're going to win. We're going to be walking in victory. Recognize God as a fruitful Father, as a faithful Father, as somebody that wants you to bear fruit in your life, wants you to be successful, wants you to walk in the fullness of who you are, knowing who he is, wants you to have everything that he wants to provide for you as a father, wants you to know who he is, the fullness of him as a father. But we have to get past something. We have to move past something as sons and daughters. This one's a big one. This one is a huge one for me. You ready? And I believe it's for every believer, every single one of us. We relate to God as we relate to our natural father. Let me unpack that for you a little bit. Some of us had a great father. Some of us, a not so great father. Some of us didn't even know our father. Some of us had negative experiences with our father. Some of us, our father passed away. Let me unpack my experience, and you can unpack yours. Here we go. my dad was a great provider. Worked so hard. Worked every day of his life. I knew that he loved me unconditionally. But he wasn't there. I knew that he loved others, but he wasn't there. So when I met God, I knew that he loved me. I knew that he loved others, but I felt that he was distant. I knew that his promises were true, but I didn't feel that they were for me all the time because he was far away. He wasn't with me every moment, every second, every time that I needed him. Because I was relating to him as I related to my natural father. We need to push through that and recognize that God is faithful. He is able. He is present. He is who he says he is. And then knowing that, we respond in faith. Church, the R's aren't just some words that we put together that all start in R. When we reject, we recognize, and we respond, we can move in power. How do we do it? How do we start to move forward so that we can understand who he is as a father? We can respond in faith and begin to truly reject fear in our lives. We have to ask ourselves two questions that will affect every single decision that we make in our life. What do we believe about God? What is our theology? Some of you have heard that word and you're like, that's a big word. That's a smart word. I don't understand that word. I can't. It's really simple. What do you believe about God? Is he who he says he is? Are his promises true? Is his word true? Do you believe it? Is it final? Doesn't need to be changed. Is perfect. And what do you believe about yourself? Does he define you? Is your identity set in what he says about you as a son and daughter? Is your identity set in what the Word of God says about you? Is your identity set in what Jesus says about you? Or is your identity set in what the world says about you? Or better yet, what your past tried to define you as? If you can answer those two questions, it will help you in every decision that you make in your life. Every decision. Let's dig into our text for the day. Listen, we're going to just allow for the Word of God to speak today. We're just going to allow for the text to speak today. So I'm going to give you time to turn to Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. You could turn there in your Bible. You can turn your Bible on. I want to encourage you, though, if you don't have a real Bible, a paper Bible, to get one. If you don't have one, let us know. We'll help you. But there is something about holding the Word of God, turning the pages, learning where the books of the Bible are. It just comes alive. There's something about not having to charge the Word of God. I'm being serious. I used to love reading on my iPad and my iPhone. It's great. It is. But there's something about it. So I want to encourage you. Amen? Amen. So Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Where are we? Say it loud. Okay, I'm glad we're all in confirmation that we're here on earth. Okay. Great story about this. We're in Home Depot, one of Lennon's favorite stores. And second favorite store now is Harbor Freight. He loves Harbor Freight. He got his first toolbox at Harbor Freight the other day. Did what a typical man would do. Got his first toolbox and instantly said, I need a bigger toolbox. First thing he said, Dad, I need a bigger toolbox. He took all my tools out of my toolbox to fill his toolbox. Anyways, he's holding a snow globe in Target as well. That's his third favorite store. He's holding a snow globe, which is dangerous for a four-year-old because he is shaking a glass ball, which it's designed to do, and he's just holding it, shaking it, and he looks at it. And I just got an image of, like, God just holding just the world in his hand. Just, I'm like, Len, how cool is that? That's how God just looks at us. What if God's looking at us as a snow globe, just shaking us up every once in a while, like, doo, doo, doo. And Len is like, yeah, that's cool, Dad. Look at the snow globe. You know? But sometimes God just looks at us like, well, what are you guys doing? What are you focusing on? I don't know. It's just a little moment I had. All right. Where moths eat and destroy and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. You know, when we read these verses, we think of treasure and we instantly go to money. Instantaneously, we think of money. And we think, oh, here we go. Pastor's going to talk about money. I want to talk about your heart. Our treasure has so much more to do with our heart than with our money. Show me your calendar and show me your banking app. I used to say checkbook, but those don't even really exist anymore. Those registry things, they'll get you one at the bank, but if you ask for one, they walk to the back and go, and then hand it to you. I know, because a few years ago, I asked for one, and it was weird. Oh, they hand it to me. But show me those two things, and I'll show you where your heart is. Show me your calendar. If you tell me you don't keep one, it tells me that you're not telling your time where to go. Your time's telling you where to go. And if you're not telling your money where to go, it tells me you're working for money instead of making your money work for you. So I know where your heart's at. But our treasure has to do with our time and our talent and our money. I don't want any of us to stand before God and him say, why didn't you invest that talent that I gave you in the kingdom? God, you didn't give me any talents. No, I gave you a heart to love people. You didn't spend time with them. Oh, God, you didn't give me any talents. No, I gave you a heart of hospitality, and your home was never open. Oh, God, you didn't give me any talents. Oh, no, I gave you a joy to cook, and you never served at an event. Oh, no, I gave you a heart to see things differently and to have a perspective of excellence. And you never cleaned a building. No, you didn't give me any talents. No, I gave you a heart of organization and you never wrote a list for the kingdom. Why didn't you spend your time with my children? Oh, I didn't have time. Your Netflix account says different. Your screen usage time says different. Your Instagram algorithm says different. Our treasures here on earth should not be stored up in the wrong places. our money should also not rule us. We're going into a season where it's all about stuff. More stuff, more stuff, more stuff, more stuff. You know, for Christmas, I used to weep as a kid that I needed more, I needed more, I needed more. Because it was all about stuff. I had the wrong perspective. Let's keep going. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What we see changes everything. You know, Kevin's sitting in the front row, and he can speak to this so eloquently. He had a procedure on Friday. I won't go into detail. He can if he wants, but it involved his eye. It involved 672 lasers. Made sure that he could see properly, because if your perspective is off and you're looking at the wrong things in the wrong way, the wrong thing can creep in. But if your eye is healthy, if you're looking at things in a healthy way, in a kingdom way, in a godly way, your whole body is right. What you let in affects the whole. So this series that we're in, this True Riches series, we can have people that look at it in the wrong way, or people that look at it in a biblical way, in a healthy way. It's all about perspective, and we're going to unpack that in a little bit, because it's one of my favorite words. I believe perspective is part of my life's calling. Let's keep going. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Everyone say no one. I looked that up, and that actually means absolutely not one person. Not one person that ever walked the face of the earth can do it. Interesting, right? For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Materialism, wealth personified, riches or property. Here we go. Let's talk about this a little bit. Stuff is not bad. Having stuff is not bad. Money is not bad. Having a car is not bad. Having clothes is not bad. Everybody say yes and amen. Buying stuff is not bad. Being ruled by that and enslaved by that and putting that before God in any way, shape, or form is. Say yes and amen. When we're focused on that, that is when it becomes something that is controlling us. That's when it enslaves us. That's when it literally entraps us. It keeps us stuck. It becomes more important. How do I know that this statement rings true in my life, that God can take everything away and I will still be joyful? Because He has. Because He has. He could take it all. And we should still experience the fullness of our God. Because he is in control. He is the master. Take it all. Because he's the boss. Verse 25, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you far more valuable than they are? I love how God just confirms things and speaks to me. It's just in during everyday life, every ordinary day life. I was in Home Depot the other day with a young man. I was just spent the day with him. He's having a stressful, anxiety-ridden day. He had a big thing happening the next day. So I took him out of his house, out of his comfort zone. He had like 4 anxiety attacks. It was fun. I had a great, he doesn't like being around people. So I took him to lots of people. It was great. He was very thankful for it. I didn't torture the guy. We went to Home Depot, walking around Home Depot, right? I know that I'm teaching on this. And we were walking around, there's these birds, little baby birds. They're chirping around. Doot, 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 doot. They're so happy in Home Depot. Now, mind you, it's 28 degrees outside, and it's heated in Home Depot, and they're ecstatic. Singing, flying around the gas-powered tool section. All the lawn care stuff. And I'm looking at these birds, like, they're so happy. And then I look at my friend, and I'm like, what in the world do they eat in here that they're so happy? I instantly go to food, right? That's who I am. And he looks at me, he says, Pastor Nick, there's a whole aisle of bird seed. And we walk down that aisle, and there's bird seed open, and they're just doop, boop, boop, boop. I'm like, this is like an all-you-could-eat buffet. I was like, what if they accidentally hit up the wrong aisle with all the fertilizer? That's like poisonous. He's like, they're not stupid. And if one does it, the other one's going to be like, don't eat that. That seed has turned. Don't eat the purple stuff. But then we further our tour through Home Depot, and the people, most of the people are miserable. Not the workers of Home Depot. They're wonderful. They're all, they're there because that's the stuff where doers get stuff done. They're great. They're walking around with their orange stuff. They're great. But most of the people that are just in there, they're just miserable. The birds are full of joy, singing, because they didn't have to fly to Florida. They're in a heated environment with all-you-could-eat bird seed. And the people are full of anxiety, fear, anger, depression, and just miserable. Why are birds happier than us? Maybe we're focused on the wrong things. Matthew 6:27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? That's not a question from Pastor Nick. That's a question that God is asking. He knows what he's talking about. Worry, a distraction, a preoccupation with the things causing anxiety, stress, and pressure. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Nope. As a matter of fact, there's tons of studies that say worry, fear, stress, anxiety, depression. I am not discounting depression. I've suffered from it in the past. Seasonal depression is real. Clinical depression is real. Very, very real. I'm not discounting it at all. Takes away from time in your life. It takes away from your life. It shortens your life. Worry doesn't add. It distracts. It subtracts. So why do we put ourselves in the position of worry? Worry is worthless. Let's say it together. Worry is worthless. WW. It's unfruitful. It's unnecessary. It's unbelieving. It's us saying we don't want to bear fruit. God told us to be fruitful and multiply. Nope, we're going to worry. It's not a necessary part of life, but the enemy tries to keep us stuck and not moving forward. So why not get us to do unnecessary things? Running in circles. When we worry, we're doubting who God is. We're discounting what Jesus did on the cross. Often we get stuck in situations and circumstances in our life and we say, God, why are you doing this to me? God, why am I in this situation? God, why did you allow this to happen? We get stuck asking the wrong questions instead of asking three questions that really help us get over worry, fear, and doubt. Asking, what's happening to me? What's actually happening? What's actually happening in this moment to me? What's happening in me? What frustrations are really going on? What's happening in my mind? What's happening in my heart? And what's God doing with me? What's God trying to show me? What's God trying to teach me? Where's God trying to lead me through this? Because God will strengthen you in the hardest of times. First John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Fear means to withdraw, to flee. Fleeing because you feel inadequate. Fear caused me to fail. And I was afraid of failing. But I was ultimately in control of the failure, so I felt better. Fear does not belong in the kingdom because faithfulness can overcome it. So, questions we need to ask ourselves. Are we going to live in worry and fear, or are we going to live in faith and hope? There's always a why in the road. There's always a why. And we get to decide which way we're going to go. We get to make a choice. And sometimes we need somebody to just give us a little nudge, help us veer to the left or veer to the right. We need people with us. We need people to help us make the choice sometimes. If we're going to walk in worry or walk in peace, if we're going to walk in fear or walk in faith, if we're going to walk in stress or in joy or panic or have a plan. It's way more simple to walk out a plan when you have others helping you do it. I want you to think of a sport that's an individual sport. Let's think of it. Anybody got a sport that it's just an individual sport? Swimming? Do they have coaches? Yep. What's another one? Wrestling. I met a wrestling coach yesterday. They have coaches, trainers. What's another one? Golf. Golf's a big one. They have caddies. Professional golfers have caddies. They pay them a lot. They pay their caddies a lot. You know why? Caddies know the courses like nobody's business. They know the way the greens break. They know what that wind's doing. They know what club that player uses and why they use it and how far they can hit it and what spin they can put on the ball. Those caddies think for that player. What's another individual sport? Bowling? Do they have coaches in bowling? That might be the one I get stumped on. Yeah, they have coaches. They do. They do. Dawn was a bowling coach. She was. Bowling with Dawn. That sounds like a VHS. Bowling with Dawn. Last individual sport. Hit me with one. Boxing. I know they're, come on, Mick. They cut me, Mick. They have trainers, cut men. Why am I doing this? There's not much that you can do alone. There's not many plans that you can implement by yourself. There's not many things in life that you can walk out all by yourself. So if you have panic in your life and you need to start to walk out a plan, you need somebody that's beside you. If you have stress in your life and you're struggling to walk in the joy of the Lord, you need somebody that's going to walk beside you. If you have fear in your life and you're struggling to walk out the faith that God's called you to walk in, you need somebody that's going to walk beside you and encourage you and equip you and empower you. If you have worry, you need peace. But you need somebody that's going to teach you. You need somebody that's going to help you recognize that God is a faithful Father. Verse 28, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, has not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully about wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Romans 8:15, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we can call him Abba, Father. We don't live in fear. We don't withdraw. We don't flee. We don't feel inadequate. We don't pull back. When you can't see his hand, when you can't see him moving, when you can't physically feel, you need to trust his hand and his word and his promises. When you trust him and you know who he is as your father, when it's gone from just your head and moved to your heart, you respond in faith. Verse 30, why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will you eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You won't need to beg. You won't need to plead. You won't need to negotiate. You won't need to trade. He will give it. So, I spoke to you earlier about my favorite word. Before we get there, I want to read you one more verse out of Matthew 13, verse 22. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. What seeds are you allowing to be planted in your mind, in your heart, in your life? Is it the word of God? Is it the promises? Is it truth? Or is it the lure of the things of this world? Worldly wealth. Or is it true riches? It's all about perspective, church. It's all about changing your perspective. Changing the way that you look at things. Allowing for God to give you a biblical perspective, an eternal perspective. What does that mean? You're not focused on here and now. You're not focused on where you're currently at, but you're focused on where you're eventually going and what you're taking with you. You're not focused on panic, you're focused on the plan. Because plans are important. And I want to give you one last opportunity to fully crush panic in your life. Because this season causes a lot of panic because of the holidays. Because we focus on material things. And we want to break that. Because stuff doesn't matter. Stuff's not important. So if you haven't had the opportunities this month to make a plan to kill the panic in your life when it comes to finances, we want to change your perspective on that. And the monthly cash flow plan is available to you. There's the little black square thing. It's called a QR code. We found out what QR means at the first worship experience. Quick reference. Someone of the older generation figured that out for us. Yeah. If you need help figuring out what to do with that, find somebody younger. They'll hold your phone up for you, and you just click it, and it'll send you right to a PDF of a cash flow plan so you can get rid of panic and actually make your finances work for you instead of you working for them. Okay? We want you to make sure that you're able to take a step forward and growing towards being a joyful, generous person. Making sure that you're taking steps forward in that. It's often said that we're continuing to be crucified between two thieves. This is a quote by Warren Wiersbe. It's often said that we're continually being crucified between two thieves. The regrets. Sometimes when you just got to own it, you know? You just got to go full in with it. The regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. You just got to own it when it happens. We've all been there, right? Some of you have never done it in front of 200-some people. And it's okay. My wife would literally melt right now and fall under the table and pretend like she fell asleep. But I'm happy. My heart rate went up 0 when that happened. Hers would explode. And that's why we're different. And that's why I love her. It is often said that we are continually being crucified between two thieves. The regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. Every single day, there's a tension. There's a tension. We get to choose which way we're going to go, how we're going to walk, how we're going to live, what we're going to allow to rule us. But we have to remember the R's. We're going to reject fear by making a plan. We're going to recognize God as a faithful father and take our position as a son or daughter. we're going to respond in faith because of the perspective that we have. Church, I purposefully didn't want any musicians coming up. I just wanted everybody to just be focused on God in this moment. Because if you didn't realize, we have the R's and then there's some P's up there too. Reject, recognize, respond, perspective, position, and plan. But in order for you to take your position, you need to make a plan. And you need to break off and quit the job that you may be working currently. And that job is completely separating you from a life as a son or daughter of Jesus. If you've never had a moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and taking your position as a son or daughter, I want today to be your day. You know, I've made the statement a couple times during the message today that we have to make sure that we're making our money work for us instead of working for our money. We're all working a job before we meet Jesus, and that job that we're working is sin. And eventually we're going to get paid for that job, and payment for that job is death. And that's not just Pastor Nick saying that. That's the Word of God, and it's Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. And then there's a comma. I love commas. Actually, I use commas way too much. I use commas and the dot, dot, dot. What are dot, dot, dots called? Do they have a real name? Huh? Is that what they're called? Ellipses. I like those. Dot, dot, dot. Or ellipses. Ellipses sounds way smarter than dot, dot, dot. But I love the commas in the Bible because it means something's about to change. There's going to be a shift. And it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you haven't accepted that free gift, I want today to be your day. And I want you to do something really simple. And let's just slip your hand up and say, Pastor Nick, that's me. I've never received that gift. I don't fully know what that means. Can somebody pray with me? Can somebody walk me through that? Can somebody help me understand? Because I want to have that eternal perspective that you spoke of. I want to take that position as a son or daughter. I want that perspective. I want to make a plan. I want to walk out the fullness of what God has for me. If that's you today, just slip your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor. Slip your hand up to God so we can pray with you. Anyone at all today. Maybe you've made that decision before and you want to rededicate. Come back home and take your position again. Anyone at all. If you're like me and you're fearful to be that person that raises your hand, because I was that person, just come up to me after the worship experience. We have men and women that are available to pray with you and walk you through that. Amen.